Would you please turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah? And to use George's words, I might be at the wrong end of the spectrum this morning. Because, you know, really you cannot speak of the birth of Christ without speaking of the reason why he came. And he was born to die. And I would like you to turn to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5.
This is why he came. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Let's read that verse together, can we, this morning? But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
I'd like us to read that verse one more time, and only this time I'd like you to personalize it. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities, and so forth. Okay, let's read it together. Only let's personalize it this time. But he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. Aren't you glad for that this morning? May the Lord add his blessing to his word. This time of year is a favorite for many people. It's a favorite time of mine. I enjoy singing the Christmas carols and relishing the thoughts of being together as a family and celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. It's a time when we probably eat more than any other time of the year, except for maybe Thanksgiving. And I'm sure the candy makers love this time of year because they probably sell more candy at Christmas and Halloween than any other time of the year as well. But as I study my Bible, I find that there is, of course, a lot of significance to Christmas. And also there's a lot of significance to details of the Bible. For example, if you study the numbers in the Bible, you know that the number 7 is the number of perfection or the number of completeness. Number 40 is the number of testing and trial. Number 50 is the number of salvation. And also, I like to study types. Types are pointed illustrations of some scriptural truth. There's a lot of great types in the Bible and types surrounding Jesus Christ. For example, the Passover lamb in the book of Exodus was a type of Christ. That lamb was slain and its blood was put up on the posts of the doors. And when the death angel saw the blood, he said, "I will pass over you." And that's what Christ did. He was our Passover lamb. He died for us. And when God sees the blood of Christ applied to our lives, he passes over us, doesn't remember our sins, but we are cleansed. The brazen serpent in the wilderness was a type of Christ. You remember how the people were bitten by those poisonous snakes? Moses got on his face before the Lord and said, "God, what are we going to do? People are dying." And God said, "I want you to erect a pole, and I want you to put a brazen snake upon the pole, and whoever looks at that snake will then live." And that's what Jesus did. He died upon the cross, and whoever looks to the cross and all it represents, it receives his sacrifice there. We are forgiven, and we no longer have to die, but we can live eternally. Types are very interesting things in the Bible. The greatest type is Joseph. He's like Jesus Christ in some 40 to 50 ways. Makes a beautiful study. And we could go on and on this morning about showing these shadows and these types and substance of the Lord Jesus Christ. But today I want to take a very simple thing. I want to take the candy cane and make some spiritual applications to you from that candy cane that I hope will be a blessing. You may have heard some of these thoughts or read some of these thoughts before. How many of you have ever seen The Legend of the Candy Cane? Okay, quite a few of you. Some of you haven't seen The Legend of the Candy Cane. The Legend of the Candy Cane is that there was a candy maker in the state of Indiana who wanted to make a candy that would be a witness to people. And so he made the candy cane. And the candy cane symbolizes and represents a lot about the life and the death of Jesus. And so I'm going to give you 7 ways today that the candy cane can speak to us. The first one is the candy cane can speak of sin. The candy cane can speak of sin. This is one of the best ways I know if you want something, just a little something to be able to witness to somebody. You can just have a candy cane. And you notice, first of all, that that candy cane is not straight, is it? It has a little crook on it. It's crooked. It's the top of it crooks or makes kind of a half circle. And that's a picture of man. Man was born crooked. From the day he was born, man was crooked. It says in Psalm 58 in verse 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. The wicked go astray. Everybody, we go astray as soon as we are born. The Bible says, speaking lies. You don't have to teach a child how to lie. They come by that naturally. You have to tell them and teach them how to speak the truth. The Bible makes it very clear that all people are born into sin. And the reason that all men need a Savior is because all men are born sinners. We are sinners by nature. And until a person realizes that they are a sinner, they cannot be saved by the wonderful grace of God. There has to be that realization. Yes, I am a sinner. And some people are controlled by sin. Still others are doomed due to sin. I'm glad that I was once in the doomed crowd, but now I'm in the delivered crowd. Hope you're there. Hope you're in the delivered crowd because of the mercy and grace of God. And I don't care how crooked you may be. I don't care how sinful you may be. God can save you and He can straighten you out. When Jesus comes into your life, you start walking right. You start talking right. You start thinking right. What a change comes into our life because of Jesus the Savior. If somebody would just look to Him, He could straighten out their life. He could straighten out your life this morning. It was crooked, it can be straight. Number two, the candy cane can speak of the shepherds. Here's a question for you. See if you're on your toes this morning. Who was the first group of people to hear of the birth of Jesus Christ? It was the shepherds. It was the lowly shepherds who were abiding in their fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lowly shepherds, the poor people, that's who Jesus came to, first of all. Later, he came to the kings. The kings saw him, but he came, first of all, to the lowly shepherds. And God takes the lowly things and sometimes the foolish things of this world and confounds the wise through them. He came to lowly shepherds. He came to looking shepherds. After the angel announced the birth of Jesus, these shepherds said, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." The candy cane speaks of shepherds. They were, and there is a life-giving shepherd. Psalm 23:1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I'm glad that when I go down the pathway of life, often I don't know the way to go. I'm often in need of protection, but that's where the good shepherd comes in. Jesus declared himself to be the good shepherd, and he said, "My sheep know my voice, and they follow me." Candy cane speaks to us of sin. Candy cane speaks to us of shepherds. And number three, the candy cane speaks to us of sacrifice. Our text verse says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed." The candy cane is quite attractive because of the red stripe that encircles the cane. And by the way, you think about that. That stripe is what color again? Red. Red is the color of redemption. Red is the color of blood. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. The three things real quickly I'm going to point out to you about the blood. First of all, it's precious blood. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19 refers to the blood of Jesus as being precious. And it is precious to us. It's not something that we take lightly, but it's something that we hold in high esteem. When we take communion, we remember the blood that was shed for the forgiveness and the remission of sins. It's precious to us. It's a potent blood. Works wonderful power. Like the song says, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. That blood can change the life of a harlot. That blood can change the life of a drunkard. That blood can change the life of a dope addict. That blood can change the life of a murderer. That blood can change the life of a thief. That blood can change the life of a gambler. You name the sin, and that blood can change it. It is effective, it is powerful, and it is precious to us who know its potency. And number three, it's a procuring blood. Procuring. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." See, the old system of sacrifices, they had to go and they had to continue to shed blood every time they sinned. They'd have to kill another lamb or a goat or something, some sacrifice that would make atonement for their sin. And they did this over and over and over again. But Jesus gave his life, he shed his blood one time, and in that one act, he was able to purchase eternal redemption for you and I. Not just redemption for one sinful act, but eternal redemption covering all of our sins and all of our iniquities. The candy cane can speak of sin. The candy cane can speak of shepherds. The candy cane can speak of sacrifice. And number four, the candy cane speaks of sharing. Sharing. The white part of the candy cane. White in the Bible speaks to us of righteousness and purity and holiness. Jesus was born of a pure virgin. He lived a sinless life. In all aspects, he fulfilled the righteousness of God. And then he offers us that righteousness. He shares his righteousness with us. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18 declares, "Oh, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And so our sins become white. We often think of sins as dark and ugly. The Bible says they're red, crimson. But when the blood is applied to them, they are washed white. And then the Christian is given garments, fine linen, the righteousness of the saints, garments of white. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 4, "Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." And our righteousness is as white. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 states, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Here's a sharing aspect. Jesus took upon himself our sins. He was sinless, but he took our sins upon him. He shared our sins with himself. And in return, he shares his righteousness with us. I'm so glad that his righteousness is greater than our sin. His righteousness is greater than our sin. He became sin for us who knew no sin. He came from a perfect place, a perfect environment. He was perfect in every way. And to take sin upon himself was one of the most horrific of the things that he felt upon the cross. The burden of your sin and mine. And the word "made" there is in the passive voice in the Greek. It means that becoming is not produced by man, but he is acted upon by someone or something above and beyond himself. In other words, our righteousness, the righteousness that we gain, is imputed to us. It's shared with us. It means to
attribute or to ascribe, to share. Sometimes there's a little green stripe that goes on the candy cane. Most candy canes don't have them, but some do. Have you ever seen a candy cane like that? A little green stripe? I was told that that was there to show that Jesus Christ is a gift. His life, his sacrifice, he's wrapped up as a gift. He is a reminder to us that Jesus is God's gift to us. Number 5, the candy cane can speak of the Savior. If you turn it upside down, you have a letter J. That letter J stands for Jesus, Jesus Christ. That is his personal name. The name Jesus means Savior, he who saves. You know, there's a lot of names for Jesus. I thought it would be kind of fun. We do this from time to time. If you could just think of a name of Jesus and just shout it out this morning. Okay? Just do that. Think of a name for Jesus and just shout it out. Listen to these names. Emmanuel, Savior. You're going to have to do it louder. I can't hear you. Jehovah Jireh, Prince of Peace. There's one over here. Okay, Everlasting Father. King of Kings. The Lion of the Tribe of Judah. So much more. The Word. We could go on and on this morning. This candy cane, number 6, can also speak of sweetness. Psalm 34 and verse 8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. The candy cane is sweet. He is sweet to the believer. Its flavor is peppermint, similar to hyssop. Hyssop belongs to the mint family and was used in the Old Testament for purification and sacrifice. And so the candy cane is sweet to us as well. So the candy cane can speak of sin. The candy cane can speak of shepherds. The candy cane can speak of sacrifice. The candy cane can speak of sharing. The candy cane can speak of the Savior. The candy cane can speak of sweetness. And one last one, the candy cane can speak of being solid. Being solid. Jesus is of the solid rock. His promises are solid and sure. That candy is hard to remind us that he is the Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. And so the candy cane speaks of sin, shepherds, sacrifice, sharing, Savior, sweetness, and solidity. He's all those things, and he's really much more than that. And so whenever you have a candy cane, in fact, as you leave here this morning, I'm just going to give you a little candy cane to remind you of Jesus. He's all of these things, and he's more. Let's bow for prayer. I wonder if there's anybody here this morning. You need to make your peace with God. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And it's only by his sacrifice that you are saved. There is no other. He is, as George pointed out, the King. He is the Savior. He is the God. Beside me, he says, there is no other. So if you're here today and you've not had peace with God, you've not asked Jesus to be your Savior and received his sacrifice for your sins, you've not invited him into your heart, said, Lord Jesus, come into me and be my Savior, I'm asking you to do it this morning. Is there anybody here by a raised hand you would say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm going to do that this morning. I'm going to receive Jesus as my Savior. I'm going to let this message of the candy cane be a witness to me. Jesus is my Savior. Could I see your hand this morning? Is there anybody? All right. Lord, we thank you for the witness of the candy cane. We thank you, Jesus, that you were wounded for our transgressions, You were bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you, and it's with your stripes that we are cleansed and healed and forgiven. We rejoice in that this morning. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
While by the sheep we watched at night, glad tidings brought an angel bright. How great our joy! Joy, joy, joy! Praise be the Lord in heaven on high. There shall be born, so he did say, in Bethlehem a child today. How great our joy! Joy, joy, joy! Praise be the Lord in heaven on high. There shall a child lie in a stall, this child who shall redeem us all. How great our joy! Joy, joy, joy! Praise we the Lord in heaven on high. This gift of God we'll cherish well, that ever joy our hearts shall fill. How great our joy! Joy, joy, joy! Praise we the Lord in heaven on high.
We got a choir. We're going to have to do this every Sunday.